Our dear Father in heaven,
nuestro Padre Celestial,
we come before thee with thanksgiving in our hearts.
Venimos delante de ti con gratitud en nuestros corazones.
Thanking you that you are a good and loving and faithful God.
Agradeciéndote que eres un Padre amoroso y fiel con nosotros.
And Lord, as we recognize that we are living in the last days,
Señor, reconociendo que vivimos en los tiempos finales,
it is our prayer that you would please help us to be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Es nuestra oración que nos ayudes a prepararnos para la venida del Señor Jesucristo.
This evening, as we begin to study the judgment hour,
en esta noche que nos preparamos a estudiar el tiempo del juicio,
we pray that you would please pour out your Holy Spirit upon us.
Pedimos que nos des de tu Espíritu Santo.
Please open up our hearts and minds to understand the truths from Scripture.
Por favor, abre nuestras mentes para que podamos entender las verdades de tu palabra.
Help these things to be clear for those of us who have heard before.
Por favor, abre nuestra mente para que sea claro a nuestro entendimiento.
But even more so, for those that are new, please help these things to be clear in their minds.
Que sean más claras aún para aquellos que son nuevos para estas cosas.
Please forgive us of our sins.
Por favor, perdona nuestros pecados.
And speak to our hearts is my prayer.
Y habla nuestro corazón es mi oración.
In Jesus' name, amen.
En el nombre de Jesús, amén.
Amen. Good evening.
Buenas noches.
Try that one more time. Good evening.
Buenas noches.
It always works better the second time for some reason.
Siempre se escucha mejor la segunda vez.
Last night we were studying Revelation chapter 14, the three angels' messages.
Anoche estábamos estudiando el mensaje de los tres ángeles de Apocalipsis 14.
And we learned last evening that the Bible teaches that there is a judgment hour.
Y estudiamos y hablamos que hay un día o un tiempo de juicio.
I'm going to invite us to turn with together to the book of Revelation chapter 14.
Y les voy a pedir que abran sus Biblias en Apocalipsis 14.
As we study the judgment hour message.
Ahora que estudiamos la hora del juicio.
Revelation 14 verses 6 and 7.
Apocalipsis 14 versículo 6 y 7.
And once again, I'll be reading in English. If you have a Spanish Bible, please just read along with me.
Y si tienen ustedes su Biblia, nada más pueden leer conmigo los que también están leyendo en español.
And the Bible says now, beginning with verse 6. Are we all there together, friends? Amen.
Empezando en el versículo 6.
And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. The point that I want to notice this evening is that the Bible teaches that the hour of God's judgment is come.
El punto que quiero enfatizar en esta noche es de que en la Biblia nos enseña que el juicio de Dios ya llegó.
We learned last night about true worship, worshiping him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of waters.
Hablamos anoche de que tenemos que adorar a Dios al que hizo el cielo, la tierra y las fuentes de las aguas.
And we learned last night that in order to worship the Creator God, we have to keep the Sabbath day holy.
Y hablamos que para adorar a Dios verdaderamente tenemos que guardar su santo sábado.
And now we're going to learn this evening that there is a judgment hour that God has ordained for you and I.
Y vamos a estudiar en esta noche que hay un juicio que Dios ha establecido para que tú y yo estemos ahí.
Matter of fact, let's notice what the Bible says in the book of Acts.
Vamos al libro de Hechos.
The book of Acts, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Let's notice what the Bible says about the judgment hour.
Vamos a ver lo que la Biblia habla acerca del juicio.
Did you know that God ordained actually a specific day when the judgment would begin?
¿Saben ustedes que Dios puso un día específico cuando iba a empezar el juicio?
Let's notice what the Bible says in Acts 17, beginning with verse 30. We'll read verses 30 and 31.
Hechos 17, versículos 30 y 31.
The Bible says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Verse 31. "Because he hath appointed a," what? "A day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." The Bible teaches that there's a specific time for the judgment.
La Biblia enseña que hay un día específico para el juicio.
The Bible teaches that God has appointed a day that he will judge the world.
La Biblia dice que hay un tiempo de juicio que ha sido señalado.
And what we're going to find out is that the judgment for God's people must take place before Jesus comes.
Y tenemos que darnos cuenta que el juicio es antes de la venida de Cristo.
I'm going to repeat that. The judgment for God's people must be done, must be accomplished before Jesus comes.
El juicio del pueblo de Dios tiene que llevarse a cabo antes de la venida de Cristo.
Notice what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 22.
Vamos a Apocalipsis 22 para ver esto.
Revelation chapter 22, and we're looking at verse 12.
22, versículo 12.
I'm going to wait a moment till everyone turns there. If you're taking notes, make sure to write these scriptures down.
Asegúrense de escribir las escrituras para que las puedan repasar más adelante.
Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, the Bible says this. Are we all there? Amen. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is," what? "With me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Notice, Jesus tells us that when he comes the second time,
aquí dice Jesús que cuando él venga la segunda vez,
that his reward is already with him.
Que su recompensa está ya con él.
There's already been a decision of those who are righteous and those who are wicked. There's already been a separation of classes.
Ya se hizo una decisión antes de su venida y una separación de clases.
Matter of fact, notice what the Bible says, what's going to happen when Jesus comes.
De hecho, vamos a ver lo que la Biblia dice antes de la venida de Cristo.
And primarily, these things are for those who are new.
Y primordialmente esto es para los que son nuevos a estas cosas.
I'm going to encourage us to now turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Vamos a Primera Tesalonicenses capítulo 4.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice what happens when Jesus comes.
Vean lo que pasa cuando Cristo viene.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 16 and 17.
16 y 17.
1 Thessalonians in your New Testament. Chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says this: "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall do what? Shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Notice that when Jesus comes a second time, that the dead in Christ are going to be resurrected and taken back to heaven with Jesus.
Dense cuenta que cuando Cristo venga, los justos van a ser resucitados para ser llevados al cielo con él.
And so in order for those who are righteous to be resurrected, there's already been a decision that's made of who's going to be taken to heaven.
Y de hecho nos podemos dar cuenta que para que los justos hayan sido resucitados y llevados al cielo, tuvo que haberse hecho una decisión antes.
Matter of fact, notice what the Bible says again. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 5.
Vamos a Juan capítulo 5.
John chapter 5. I want to also touch on something else for just a moment in this lecture as well.
También quiero hablar de un punto más en esta escritura.
For those, because there are some here tonight that don't know something I'm about to share. John chapter 5.
Juan capítulo 5.
Notice what Jesus says beginning in verse 25.
Empezando en el versículo 25.
"Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Amen. Drop down to verse 28.
Vayan al versículo 28.
"Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in," where?
¿Dónde?
in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I want to bring out 2 points.
Dos puntos quiero enfatizar.
Number one.
Número uno.
The Bible teaches that when Jesus comes the second time,
la Biblia enseña que cuando Cristo venga la segunda vez,
he already knows who are good and who are evil.
Él sabe quiénes son buenos y quiénes son ya malos.
You understand this? There has already been a decision made of those that are righteous and those that are wicked.
Ya es una decisión de quiénes son justos y quiénes son buenos.
Which means that some type of judgment has to take place before Jesus comes.
Significa que tuvo que haber un juicio antes de la venida de Cristo para que eso pase.
We'll talk about that in just a little bit.
Y vamos a hablar de eso en un
momento. But the second point I want to touch on right now is this.
El segundo punto es este.
Notice where the people are, where the dead people are when Jesus comes the second time.
Vean dónde está la gente muerta.
Because literally millions of people are being deceived today by a false teaching in the churches.
Porque millones de gentes en todo el mundo están siendo engañadas en sus iglesias hoy en día.
Go back to verse 28 and let's notice what the Bible says.
Vayan al versículo 28 y veamos esto.
Jesus says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in heaven shall hear his voice." Is that what the Bible says? Where are the people when Jesus comes?
¿Dónde está la gente cuando Cristo viene?
They're in the graves.
En sus tumbas, sus sepulcros.
Let me explain something very clearly for those who don't understand.
Déjenme explicarles algo muy claro.
The Bible teaches that when a person dies, they go to sleep in the grave.
La Biblia enseña que cuando alguien se muere, va y se queda en su tumba.
They don't go right to heaven.
No suben al cielo.
Otherwise, why would Jesus have to come back to get him out of the grave?
Sino para qué vendría Cristo para sacarlo de la tumba.
Let me explain this very clearly so nobody's confused tonight.
Quiero explicarlo claro para que nadie esté confundido.
The teaching of spiritualism has entered into the Christian church.
La enseñanza del espiritismo ha entrado e infiltrado a la iglesia.
Notice what the Bible says, what happens when you sin. Go to Romans chapter 6.
Vamos a ver lo que pasa a la gente cuando peca.
Romans chapter 6.
Romanos capítulo 6.
And verse 23.
El versículo 23.
Now wait a minute. We all made a decision. We all made a commitment last night. Amen?
¿Se acuerdan que hicimos un pacto anoche?
How many of you made that commitment that... Go ahead, ask it in Spanish.
¿Cuántos hicieron ese pacto?
That if the Bible says it, we believe it. Amen?
Si la Biblia lo dice, lo creemos.
So we don't believe in man's traditions. We don't believe in what thus saith the pastor or what thus saith the church. We believe in what thus saith the Lord. Amen?
No creemos en lo que dice el pastor o lo que diga el hombre, sino lo que diga la Biblia solamente.
Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Notice what the Bible says.
Romanos 6:23. Vean lo que dice.
For the wages of sin is eternal life, but the gift of God is that what the Bible says? Make sure to translate that Spanish, please, brother.
Porque la paga del pecado es la vida, mas la dádiva de Dios es así como dice el versículo?
No.
What does it say?
¿Qué dice?
For the wages
porque la paga
of sin
del pecado
is death.
Es muerte.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Pero el regalo, la dádiva de Dios es la vida eterna a través de Jesucristo.
People today don't believe what the Bible says.
La gente hoy no cree lo que la Biblia dice.
They believe that even if you sin, you can live forever.
Ellos creen que aunque peques, sigues viviendo por siempre.
They say that you either live forever in heaven,
que creen que vives ya sea en el cielo,
or you live forever in hell.
O vives en el infierno, martirizándote.
But the Bible says that if you sin, you die.
Pero la Biblia dice que si tú pecas, mueres.
But let's notice who brought in that lie.
Pero vamos a ver quién trajo esa gran mentira.
The Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 3.
Vamos a Génesis capítulo 3.
The serpent was in the garden.
La serpiente estaba en el jardín del Edén.
God warned Adam and Eve that if they ate the tree, they would die.
Dios le dijo a Adán y Eva que si comían del árbol, iban a morir.
And the serpent contradicted the word of God.
Y la serpiente contradijo la palabra de Dios.
Let's notice the Bible. As a matter of fact, turn to Genesis chapter 2 first.
Primero vamos al capítulo 2.
Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And when you're there, please let me know by saying amen.
16 y 17.
The Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not." You know what, when you know what God says, "Thou shalt not," it means thou shalt not.
¿Saben lo que quiere decir Dios cuando dice que no lo harás?
"Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now notice what the serpent says in Genesis chapter 3.
Ahora veamos lo que dice la serpiente en el capítulo 3.
Beginning with verse 1.
Empezando en el versículo.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Notice what the devil does. He does not come out and openly contradict the word of God, but he questions the word of God.
Si ve, nos damos cuenta que Satanás no contradice inmediatamente la palabra, sino que empieza la confusión, a empezar a hacer preguntas de la palabra de Dios.
And the Bible says now in verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye do what? Lest ye die. And the serpent said," verse 4,
versículo 4,
"and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Notice,
vean,
the woman says,
la mujer le dice,
God has told us not to do this, or otherwise we're going to die.
Dios nos dijo que no comamos si no vamos a morir.
And what did the serpent say?
¿Qué dijo la serpiente?
"You will not die.
No vas a morir.
For you're like God. You won't die.
No vas a morir.
Because you're like God.
Porque tú vas a ser como Dios."
Do you understand this? Who do you think is telling the truth?
¿Quién creen que está diciendo la verdad?
God or the serpent?
Dios o la serpiente?
Who do you believe?
¿A quién crees?
God says if you sin, you die.
Dios digo que si pecas,
the serpent says, "No, you don't. You can't die because you're like God. You have an immortal soul."
La serpiente dice, "No, no vas a morir." Dice, "Tienes una alma inmortal."
And that's what many people in Christian churches today. Matter of fact, the entire almost world believes the serpent's lie.
De hecho, la mayoría del mundo, en el mundo cristiano, cree la mentira de la serpiente.
Virtually every religion in the world believes that they don't really die.
Virtualmente, las iglesias o el mundo entero cree que la gente no muere.
Some religions teach that you don't die, you just come back as an animal, you're reincarnated.
Unas religiones creen que no mueres, que simplemente te reencarnas, a lo mejor en un animal.
Other ones believe that they go to nirvana.
Otros creen que van a un nivel espiritual que se llama nirvana.
But they go to heaven where they can have 70 virgin wives and drink alcohol. That's right.
Otros creen que Islam. Van al cielo y tienen 70 mujeres ahí y están tomando alcohol.
Other ones believe that they don't really die, they go to purgatory.
Otros creen que no mueren, sino que van al purgatorio.
And if you pray to the saints and pay enough money to the church, you can get them out.
Y que si pagas dinero a la iglesia, puedes sacarlos del purgatorio.
And other ones believe that you go right to heaven or right to hell.
Y otros creen que puedes ir al cielo directamente cuando mueres o al infierno.
They say, "Wait a minute, when your body dies, your soul doesn't die." That's what they say.
Muchos dicen, "No, si mueres, no, no, tu cuerpo no, tu alma no, no muere."
But let's notice what the Bible says.
Pero veamos lo que la Biblia dice.
Go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18.
Al libro de Ezequiel, capítulo 18.
Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Notice what the Bible says.
18, versículo 4.
Let me tell you why this is so important, brothers and sisters.
Les voy a decir por qué es tan importante lo que estamos hablando.
Because millions of people are being deceived by demons.
Porque millones están siendo engañados por demonios.
I have met people.
He conocido gente.
That have told me, "Pastor, I have a dead loved one visiting me."
Que me han dicho, "Tengo un familiar que ha muerto que me ha estado visitando."
I've talked with people personally that say that my loved one came and told me messages from beyond the grave.
Me he encontrado con gente que dice un familiar querido vino de la muerte y me ha dado mensajes del más allá.
But the Bible teaches that those aren't dead loved ones, those are demons.
Pero la Biblia enseña que no es gente muerta, sino demonios.
Notice what the Bible says in Ezekiel 18 verse 4.
Ezequiel 18 versículo 4.
That a soul can die. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall what?
Die.
So can a soul die?
Una alma puede morir, de acuerdo a lo que leímos aquí. El alma que pecare, esa morirá.
What does the Bible say? Come on now.
¿Qué dice?
Can a soul die? Yes or no? Ezekiel 18 verse 4.
¿Puede morir el alma, sí o no? De acuerdo a lo que está aquí.
Let's read it again. Maybe you're not convinced.
Vamos a leerlo nuevamente.
Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So can a soul die?
¿Puede el alma morir o no?
Can a soul be destroyed?
¿Un alma puede ser destruida?
Go to Matthew chapter 10.
Vamos a Mateo capítulo 10.
Now, you may not believe me.
A lo mejor no me creen a mí.
But can we agree that we believe Jesus?
Pero podemos acordar que creemos en Jesús.
How many of you believe in Jesus?
¿Cuántos creen a Jesús?
Okay, let's ask Jesus.
Okay, vamos a preguntarle al Señor Jesús.
Matthew chapter 10. Let's notice what Jesus says about a soul that can be destroyed.
Vamos a ver lo que Cristo dice acerca de un alma que puede ser destruida.
Matthew chapter, I hope you're taking down notes. So some of you need to know how to study these things with people. Take your notes down. Matthew chapter 10, and we're looking now at verse 28.
Versículo 28.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both what? Soul and body in hell. So can a soul be destroyed?
¿Puede un alma ser destruida?
So if a soul can be destroyed,
si un alma puede ser destruida,
if a soul can die,
si un alma puede morir,
that means your soul is not immortal.
Significa que tu alma no es inmortal.
Jesus promises us not to go to heaven when we die.
Jesús no nos promete que nos vamos al cielo cuando morimos.
He promises to keep us safe in the grave and resurrect us. There's a resurrection that takes place.
Nos promete que nos va a tener en la tumba hasta el día de la resurrección.
Matter of fact, let me prove to you right now,
déjeme probarles hoy, ahorita,
that dead people cannot go back to their and haunt their houses.
Que la gente muerta no puede ir a espantar a las casas.
Go to the book of Job before the book of Psalms.
Vamos al libro de Job.
Just before the book of Psalms.
Antes del libro de Salmos.
The book of Job.
Libro de Job.
And we're going to come now to chapter 7.
Capítulo 7.
I want to take a moment to just, we're covering the judgment for the next two nights. So I'm just taking a little time to cover this because this is so important to understand for you who don't know.
Estamos tomando un tiempo del día del juicio que íbamos a hablar, pero estoy tomando un tiempo porque esto es interesante e importante.
Job chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Notice what the Bible says.
Capítulo 7, versículo 9 y 10.
Are we all there? Amen?
Si están ahí.
You need to write these notes down, friends. Job 7, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says this. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down where? To the grave shall come up what? No more. Now notice what it says in verse 10.
Versículo 10.
He shall return no more to his house.
No regresará a su casa.
Neither shall his place know him anymore. So when people die, can they go back to their house?
Cuando una gente muere, ¿puede ir nuevamente a su casa?
No, that's what the Bible says.
No, es lo que la Biblia enseña.
So people that say, hey, I have the spirit of my uncle in the house.
Aquella gente que dice, tengo a mi tío que está ahí merodeando.
That's not your uncle, it's the devil.
No es tu tío, es un demonio.
And you need to rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ.
Necesitas reprender ese demonio en el nombre de Cristo.
I've even talked with people that say that, you know, they're telling me things that only we knew.
Y uno dice, ellos me dicen cosas que solamente ellos, mis familiares.
You have to remember that there are angels that we can't see that are all around us.
Tienes que acordarte que son ángeles caídos que están alrededor nuestro.
There are good angels.
Hay buenos ángeles.
And there are evil angels.
Y hay malos ángeles.
And they're around us at all times, taking notes.
Y están entre nosotros tomando notas.
And when you're alone with somebody,
y cuando estás con alguien,
you don't think that anybody's seeing you, nobody's listening to you.
Cuando piensas que no hay nadie escuchándote.
There are good angels, holy angels, taking down notes.
Hay ángeles santos escribiendo.
And there are also demons watching you as well.
Y hay demonios viéndote también.
Notice what the Bible says that death is like.
Vamos a ver lo que la Biblia enseña que es la muerte.
Job chapter 14.
Job capítulo 14.
Notice what happens.
Veamos qué pasa.
Beginning with verse 10.
Empezando el versículo 10.
Job chapter 14, beginning of verse 10, the Bible says this.
La Biblia dice esto.
But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their, what? Sleep.
Sueño.
Notice what Job asks now in verse 14.
Vean lo que Job pregunta en el capítulo, versículo 14.
But before that, I have a question.
Pero antes de eso, una pregunta.
What did the Bible just call death?
¿Qué es lo que la Biblia le dijo a la muerte? ¿Cómo le llamó?
It called it sleep.
Le llamó sueño.
Notice what happens in verse 14.
Vean el versículo 14.
If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my what? Till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. So what does Job say the dead are waiting for?
¿A qué están esperando los muertos, según Job?
They're waiting for the change to come.
Están esperando la mutación, el cambio.
What change?
¿Qué cambio?
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Vamos a Primera de Corintios capítulo 15.
Let's notice what change they're waiting for.
Vamos a ver qué cambio están esperando los.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible tells us about a change.
Primera de Corintios 15, ahí nos habla de este cambio.
Beginning with verse 51. Make sure to take all these notes down, brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 51. Notice when the change comes. Are we all there? Amen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what?
¿Seremos qué?
Changed. Now notice what happens when they're changed, or when are they changed?
Vean lo que pasa cuando son cambiados.
Verse 52.
Versículo 50.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last, what?
A la final.
Trump.
Trompeta.
For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And so the Bible teaches that the people of God are resurrected.
Que el pueblo de Dios son levantados.
They are made immortal.
Se hacen, son hechos inmortales.
And they are changed.
Son transformados.
At the trumpet sound.
A la final trompeta.
You hear that?
¿Escucharon eso?
When does the trumpet sound?
¿Cuándo es la trompeta? ¿Cuándo suena?
Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Vamos a Primera Tesalonicenses.
You see, friend, this is how you study the Bible.
Esto es la forma de estudiar la.
You have to compare scripture with scripture, here a little and there a little.
Es comparar pasaje con pasaje, un poquito aquí y un poquito allá.
The Bible can never contradict itself.
La Biblia no se puede contradecir.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice when the trumpet sounds.
Primera Tesalonicenses capítulo 4.
Notice when the dead are raised.
Escuchen cuando los muertos son.
Notice when the change comes.
Cuando el cambio, la transformación pasa.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16.
Versículo 16.
It said, the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the.
¿Y con qué?
Trumpet of God.
Con la trompeta de Dios.
And the dead in Christ shall rise First, so when does the trumpet sound?
¿Cuándo suena la trompeta?
When Jesus comes.
Cuando Cristo viene.
And when Jesus comes,
y cuando Cristo viene,
that's when the saints that were sleeping resurrect to eternal life.
Es cuando los muertos justos son levantados para vida eterna.
Matter of fact, notice what Jesus calls death.
Vean lo que Cristo le llama la muerte.
The Gospel of John.
El Evangelio de Juan.
Notice what Jesus calls death.
Vamos a ver cómo Jesús le llama la muerte.
John chapter 11.
Juan capítulo 11.
And this is the story of Lazarus who died.
Y esta es la historia de Lázaro que murió.
Lazarus got sick.
Lázaro se había enfermado.
He died.
Y murió.
And he was buried.
Y fue enterrado.
And they left him in the grave for 4 days.
Y lo dejaron en la tumba 4 días.
And even his sister told Jesus that, Lord, by now he's beginning to stink.
Y aún su hermana dijo, Señor, aún ahora ya está...
Lazarus was dead.
Lázaro ya había muerto.
And notice what Jesus says now.
Y vean lo que Cristo dice.
Beginning with verse 11.
El versículo 11.
John chapter 11, verses 11 through 14.
Juan 11, 11 al 14.
The Bible says, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus, what? Sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. He'll get better, Lord. If you let him sleep, he'll get better from his cold, or he'll get better from his sickness. That's what they were saying. Go ahead and translate that, brother.
Ellos estaban pensando de que lo que se refería a dormir, dice, oh, se va a poner bien de su enfermedad, de su gripa, de su catarro, de lo que tenga. Es lo que pensaban.
But verse 13 says this.
Pero el versículo 13 dice es.
Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 14.
Jesús les dijo entonces claramente que Lázaro había muerto.
So what did Lazarus, what did Jesus say Lazarus was doing?
¿Qué dijo Jesús que Lázaro estaba haciendo?
Lazarus was sleeping.
Estaba durmiendo.
But Lazarus was dead.
Pero Lázaro estaba muerto.
How many of you believe what Jesus says?
¿Cuántos creen lo que Cristo dice?
So what does Jesus say death is like?
¿A qué compara Jesús la muerte entonces?
Death is like a sleep.
La muerte es como cuando estás dormido.
And when he resurrected Lazarus,
y cuando resucitó a Lázaro,
what did Lazarus tell Jesus?
¿Qué le dijo Lázaro a Cristo?
Thank you, Lord.
Gracias, Señor.
I was burning in hell and you took me out of hell.
Me estaba quemando en el infierno y me sacaste.
Is that what he said?
¿Es lo que le dijo?
No.
No.
Did he say, Lord, why'd you take me back, Lord? Is that what he said? I was up in heaven dancing on streets of gold. Is that what he said?
¿Lo que le dijo? Me bajaste del cielo, estaba ya gozándome.
No.
No.
Lazarus was simply sleeping.
Él nada más estaba durmiendo.
And some people say, well, that's so cruel.
Y uno dice, no, eso es tan cruel.
You mean my grandmother, my mother is she's just sleeping in the grave? It's so cruel.
Y tú me dices que mi madrastra o mi abuelita, mi familiar está en la sepultura.
No, friends, it's not cruel.
No, no es cruel.
The Bible teaches that when they die, they simply close their eyes and they go to sleep.
La Biblia enseña que nada más cierran sus ojos y se van a dormir.
And that their life is hid with Christ and God.
Y si su vida ha sido escondida en Cristo,
then very next thing it'll be like a twinkling of an eye.
Y el siguiente abrir de ojos va a ser.
The trumpet sound of Christ will pierce through the grave into their ears.
La trompeta de Cristo va a resonar en sus oídos.
And they'll open their eyes.
Y van a abrir los ojos.
And they'll see the face of Christ.
Y van a ver la cara del Señor.
In a moment.
En un momento.
In a twinkling of an eye.
En un abrir y cerrar de ojos.
At the last trump.
A la final trompeta.
Matter of fact, notice why the Lord sometimes allows righteous people to die.
Y de hecho, vamos a ver por qué Dios deja que gente justa muera.
We're turning to the book of Isaiah.
Vamos al libro de Isaías.
Chapter 57.
Capítulo 57.
By the way, friends,
por cierto,
what happens if your loved ones are wicked?
¿Qué pasa si tus familiares son perversos o malos?
Is that loving of God to just let them be burning and roasting for hundreds and thousands of years until Jesus comes?
¿Será justo que Dios los deje que se quemen en las flamas del infierno por cientos y miles y millones de años?
Even the wicked God is having mercy on.
Aún a los perversos Dios tiene misericordia.
By allowing them to simply sleep in the grave until the judgment of the wicked.
hasta dejarlos dormidos hasta el juicio de los injustos.
And not only that, but let's be honest.
Pero no tan solo eso, vamos a ser honestos.
How many of you would really feel comfortable?
¿Cuántos se sentirían a gusto?
How many of you would really feel comfortable in your home?
¿Cuántos se sentirían a gusto en su casa?
Knowing that your dead loved ones are watching you all the time.
Sabiendo que tus familiares te están viendo siempre.
You're going to the bathroom.
Vas al baño.
You're getting dressed.
Te estás cambiando.
You're taking a shower.
Te estás bañando.
And you have your uncles and your mothers and your grandmothers all watching you.
Y teniendo a tu abuelita, a tu tío, a tu familiar viéndote ahí.
Doesn't make sense.
Sería tonto.
Look at why God lays people down sometimes in Isaiah 57.
Dios manda a la tumba algunas gentes.
Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 and 2.
Isaías 57, versículo 1 y 2.
The Bible says, are we all there, friends, together? Amen. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, no one considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. The Bible teaches that sometimes God lays down the righteous to sleep to protect them from the time to come.
La Biblia enseña que Dios pone al descanso a los justos para protegerlos de la perversidad que viene.
And not only that, but the Bible teaches that while they're asleep, they don't even know anything.
Y la Biblia enseña que cuando ellos están dormidos, la gente no sabe nada absolutamente.
Matter of fact, notice what the Bible says in the book of Psalms.
Vamos al libro de Salmos.
You know what, this wasn't even supposed to be our topic tonight, but I believe that God has led in this topic tonight.
De hecho, esto que estoy hablando no era parte de lo que íbamos a hablar.
Because there are some people here tonight that have never heard this before.
Porque hay gente aquí que nunca ha escuchado de esto.
Psalm 146.
Salmo 146.
Notice what happens when people die. They don't even have any thoughts.
Vean lo que pasa cuando la gente muere.
Psalm 146.
146.
Psalm 146. Verses 3 and 4.
Versículos 3 y 4.
Make sure to write these down, these notes down. Psalm 146.
Asegúrense de escribir estas notas, okay?
Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4. Are we all there, friends? Amen.
146, 3 y 4.
The Bible says this: put not your trust in men, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts do what? His thoughts perish.
Sus pensamientos perecen.
So notice, when people die,
cuando la gente muere,
their breath goes away.
Su aliento se va,
their body goes back to the earth,
el cuerpo va a la tierra,
and their thoughts perish.
Y sus pensamientos perecen.
They're sleeping.
Están durmiendo.
Until Jesus comes.
Hasta que Cristo.
Matter of fact, it gets even more clear. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes.
Se va más claro aún en el libro de Ecclesiastes.
So the next book over, go to Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes.
Sigue Proverbios y luego Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9.
Capítulo 9.
Notice what the Bible says in verses 5 and 6.
Versículo 5 y 6.
Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says this: for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know everything. Therefore, you can talk to them and have seances. Is that what the Bible says? No! So, why are people doing it?
¿Por qué la gente está hablando con los muertos?
The Bible says in verse 5, for the living know that they shall die. Pause. How many of you are living in this room?
¿Cuántos están vivos?
Sometimes I wonder when I look at your faces.
Dice, a veces,
I'm being honest. Sometimes people just look at me like they're, you know, starting to go to sleep.
Así como estuvieran dormidos.
How many of you are living?
¿Cuántos están vivos?
Okay, only half of you raise your hands. All right. So it proves my point. How many of you are alive right now?
¿Cuántos están vivos?
Do you know that you're going to die unless Jesus comes?
Tú sabes que vas a morir al menos que Cristo venga.
In other words, if Jesus doesn't come, let me rephrase that. I believe that Jesus is coming very soon. Maybe you get into a car accident. I don't know. But do you know that if for some reason the Lord tarries a little longer, do you know that you are mortal, that you are going to die unless Christ comes? Do you know that?
Sabes que si Cristo tarda un poco más y te mueres alguna, tú eres mortal.
How many of you understand that unless Jesus comes, you're going to die?
Okay.
So the living know that they shall die, but the dead know how much?
¿Cuánto dice que saben los muertos? Ahí.
Right there in verse 5. How much do they know?
Versículo 5.
Verse 5.
9, 5.
The dead know not anything.
¿Qué dice que saben?
Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, their envies now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Drop down to verse 10.
En el versículo 10.
Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. How much wisdom is in the grave?
¿Cuánta sabiduría hay en la sepultura?
Verse 10, friends, are we all there? Make sure that people understand this, brother. Why don't you read verse 10 in Spanish and just comment on that, please.
Okay. En el versículo dice, todo lo que te viniere a la mano para hacerlo, hazlo según tus fuerzas, porque del sepulcro a donde tú vas, no hay obra ni industria, ni ciencia ni sabiduría. ¿Qué dice? Que no hay ni ciencia ni sabiduría, no hay nada en el sepulcro.
How much wisdom is in the grave?
¿Cuánta sabiduría hay en la sepultura?
So what, here's my question.
Ahora la pregunta es esta.
So why are people having seances to talk to people supposedly in the grave, to get wisdom from them?
¿Y ahora por qué la gente va a esas personas que se comunican con los muertos?
They're not talking to the dead.
No hablan a los muertos.
They're talking to demons.
Les hablan a los demonios, están hablando.
When I was young, I got involved in this.
Cuando yo era más joven, me involucré en estas cosas.
My mother was a practicing witch.
Mi mamá era una bruja.
A real one.
Verdadera.
My mother knew how to cast spells.
Mi mamá sabía cómo hacer encantos.
When I was young, I grew up in a home where my mother would invite the spirits into our rooms and invite the spirits into our home.
Cuando era joven, me acuerdo que mi mamá invocaba los espíritus para que llegaran a la casa.
And when I was young, I got involved in Ouija boards and different types of things like this, thinking it was fun.
Y me relacioné con la Ouija y varios otros juegos satánicos.
And I remember putting my hands on this abomination, those Ouija board with those little things move around. I remember doing that when I was young with some friends of mine.
Me acuerdo que empezamos a jugar con la Ouija y cómo esa tabla satánica se movía.